It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. Great show as we're looking around the great state of North Carolina, the old North State, and of course the Tar Heel State. We have some of the best college baseball, and I tell you what, this is an outstanding show, right, Bubba?
Yeah, Dave, we really have an excellent show. If you love college baseball, you're going to really enjoy listening to this podcast. We catch up with five Division I coaches from around the state of North Carolina. This state is one that's so rich in baseball talent, and there are just so many great programs. You take a look at last year's NCAA tournament field. Out of the 64 teams, seven were from the state of North Carolina. You had North Carolina, of course, the Tar Heels, advanced to Omaha, like they've done so many times in the past under legendary coach Mike Fox. And then you have East Carolina and NC State, who also hosted. You had the Blue Devils, just a remarkable job that Chris Pollard has done there, and that's a program that had not been to a regional in more than 50 years. And now the Blue Devils have gone twice in the last 3 years, and they failed just to win shy of Omaha a season ago when they lost out in Lubbock, Texas to Texas Tech Red Raiders. And you also have UNC Wilmington, Campbell, and North Carolina A&T, who were in regional play a season ago. And then you have a program that's been very good of late, even though they missed a regional in 2018, a team like Wake Forest. That program has done great things in the recent past under Tom Walter. They were in the Super Regionals down at Florida in 2017 and in a regional in 2016. So much talent, so many great programs. And on this show, we're going to be catching up with East Carolina's Cliff Godwin, North Carolina's Mike Fox, Duke's Chris Pollard, App State's Kermit Smith, and UNC Wilmington's longtime head coach, Mark Scaff. We're going to start things off by talking to the fifth-year head coach of the East Carolina Pirates, Cliff Godwin. Coach Godwin has done an excellent job building the program at his alma mater, guiding the Pirates to three regionals in the last 4 years, a pair of American Athletic Conference tournament championships, a super regional in 2016, hosted a regional last year, and this year the Pirates are ranked in the top 15 in all but one of the preseason polls. Now let's catch up with the head coach of ECU, Cliff Godwin.
Well, very happy to have our very next guest on, a guy that needs no introduction, especially in Pirate Nation. I'm talking about head baseball coach of East Carolina University, Cliff Godwin. Coach, thank you so much for coming on.
Dave, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I know I told you right before we started, I want to make sure that we talk about the baseball banquet because I'm excited about the baseball season. I don't want to forget something that's very important to you and many of us that love the baseball program. Can you talk a little bit about that coming up February 9th?
Yeah, it's a banquet that we have done every year that we've been here. It has grown. I can tell you that this year will be the most people that we've ever had. We're having it at the new Student Center. It'll be on the second floor in the Grand Ballroom. The autograph hour starts at 5 p.m. You come in, we'll have our posters. That'll be the first time you can get a poster, and you'll be able to get them signed by our entire team, which is pretty cool. So from 5 to 6, you do that. We also have a silent auction going on at that time. And this is the one time, you know, you can donate money, and it will go directly to our baseball program. So pretty awesome. You know, we hope to raise, you know, a lot of money, which will benefit our student-athletes in many different ways.
One question I have, Coach, another important question to me is someone that supports the program and certainly all across the board, but especially love baseball. Is there anything right now, I know you have the indoor hitting facilities, is there anything else those that listening right now in Pirate Nation that we can say, hey, we want to get that for Coach to help with recruiting and advance the program?
Yeah, we're actually going to reveal some designs at the banquet, and, you know, underneath we need to renovate our locker room, renovate our athletic training room, our equipment room, which houses all of our equipment, our team room, and then we also want to put a professional locker room for guys that, play in our program and then come back, like a Dewanye Williams-Sutton, a Connor Litton, Chris Holba, Evan Krasinski, those guys, they can come back and then, you know, with that have a a weight room at our facility as well. So weight room, professional locker room, and then renovate, you know, some stuff underneath to, you know, just make it, you know, first class underneath.
You've done an excellent job recruiting, and that's one of the things I want to ask you about today is I know how special East Carolina is to you and how special it is to me. What do you tell a guy that's you're looking to get? What do you tell them about East Carolina?
Well, look, East Carolina has been very special to me, you know, as a student athlete and now as the head coach. And, you know, I tell people all the time the best decision I ever made was in the spring of 96 when I chose to come to East Carolina University. So, look, East Carolina sells itself. We have an unbelievable coaching staff. You know, in my opinion, it's the best coaching staff in the country. And I don't think we're smarter than anybody else, but we're as invested as in these young men as anybody. And Coach Rozelle has a great track record of developing pitchers. Coach Palumbo has a great track record of developing infielders and also helping me with the hitters. And then, you know, I work with the hitters and the catchers. So, you know, when you come to East Carolina, you're going to get better, and not just on the field, but also a better person. And that's a huge piece of it for me is I want these guys to walk out of here and be more prepared for life.
It's very important. I know that one of the things I'm proud of is I am, when you use the term student-athlete, I know it's not used loosely by you. I believe the last time I checked, isn't the GPA around 3.5 for the baseball team, or help me out? I know you know that specifically.
Last semester, this past fall semester, we had a 3.41 team GPA. So that's three straight semesters that we've had over a 3.41 team GPA, which is unbelievable. Last fall, we had a 3.52, and in the spring, we had a 3.43, and we also hosted a regional. So you can definitely do it on and off the field, and it is something that a mandate in our program, because at the end of the day, the best thing they can get while they're at East Carolina is their education.
No doubt, and I know your time is limited, so I want to ask you now about baseball. You're a fierce competitor. I know that about you. Love that. Anytime, anywhere, any place. This morning I woke up, it was 33 degrees. It wasn't kind of like baseball weather, but around the corner there's the season starting. Are you ready to play right now, or do you want to put some final touches and some preparation?
I want to put some final, you know, touches to it and, you know, make sure our guys are physically and mentally ready to go. And, you know, right now it's kind of like spring training, trying to get their bodies and the pitch counts up and all that good stuff. And starting January 25th will be the first time we have an official team practice, and we will scrimmage the 25th, 26th, and 27th. So you have 3 weekends of scrimmages before you play your first game. So we're looking forward to that. But, you know, we're just focusing on getting a little bit better every single day and really kind of having our blinders on, because at the end of the day, we can't read all this stuff about the preseason polls and preseason first team all-conference, preseason all-Americans, because it's just poison. I mean, look, you start believing that stuff, and you don't work out as hard. You don't pay attention to detail as much, and we got to make sure that we're still doing what we need to do each and every day to be 1% better.
It's scary. In my notes, you probably were reading them, that I was going to ask you that question about D1 came out today and number 11 again this week for them. So I don't even have to ask that question. As far as baseball is concerned, it seems like this is, I want to get your opinion. Obviously, the expert, I'm not. It seems like this is the best pitching staff you've had since you've been at East Carolina. Is that fair?
Well, I think, you know, probably frontline pitching, you could probably say that that's, you know, something that's going to be a strength of ours. Last year's pitching staff is pretty good, you know, when you just go by numbers. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do to be able to put together that kind of body of work. And, you know, I definitely have a ton of confidence in our pitching staff this year, as, you know, Coach Rozelle does. But at the end of the day, we got to focus on getting a little bit better every single day. And if we do that, then, you know, the proof will be in the pudding at the end of the year.
I want to ask about scheduling non-conference. That's one of the things I admire and respect about you. A tough schedule, but I know you do that on purpose to get them ready for not only conference play, but you're looking for the big prize, I know, for that O word in June.
We want to challenge our guys, and, you know, we want to challenge them against the best competition in the country. This year, you know, we'll make road trips to Mississippi and play Mississippi State and Ole Miss, which, you know, are two great programs that'll be, you know, national contenders. And we also go to UCLA. along with the normal schedule we have. So, you know, it's definitely something that I think the guys look forward to because they get to play, you know, people that they normally don't play. But it does prepare us for the postseason. And, you know, like I said, I mean, every day we're just trying to get a little bit better so that we're playing our best baseball when it comes, you know, June.
One question that I hear all the time from folks, I wanted to ask you because you're, again, the head coach. People are asking me, why aren't we playing NC State? So I know you've talked that before on other. Is there a reason
that's
why
the,
Coach Avin wants
to question. That's the question everybody asks. Look, all I can say is for whatever reason, we don't fit into their scheduling philosophy. And, okay. You know, I respect Coach Avin that he has, you know, a way to do his scheduling and we have a way to do our scheduling. But we would love to play him. And, you know, we've played them every year for over, I think, 20 years. I don't know. You'd have to ask Malcolm, you know, exactly on that. But this will be the first year we haven't played them, I think, in over 20 years. And we'd love to get them back on the schedule. But, you know, right now I don't see that happening unless, you know, Coach Avent can fit us into his scheduling philosophy.
Well, maybe we'll have to get the General Assembly or somebody to, like they did in football, to schedule the baseball games. I hope it doesn't come to anything like that. But certainly, hopefully that'll happen, and I'm sure it'll take care of itself. Before we let you go, I'm a huge fan of your reality show, Cliff's Cab, and I've been binge-watching the last couple weeks to get ready for season. We have season number 4 coming up, I hope?
We do. If not, I think people would fire me around here. So I love it. I mean, I think it's great. I tell you what, it was, you know, an idea that was, you know, came up by Whitney Marks, who was at the time our marketing person. And I had no idea the popularity of this show that would come about. You know, we were just trying to get students to be more involved at our baseball games. And the next thing you know, we have recruits' parents walking on campus going, oh, my God, I watched the last episode of Cliff's Cab. It's so funny. So it's been great. Like, my mom loves it. She wants to get on the cab. And I'm like, Mom, you're not getting on the cab. So it's been a great asset to our program, and I'm looking forward to continue to do it.
Well, I guess that hurts my final question, that the guys on, if your mom can't get on the cab, I guess the guys on the sports objective can't as well.
I might let my mom on it. I just give her a hard time. But, yeah, hey, we are always welcome, you know, unexpected guests. So you just have to come out on those Mondays and just hop on.
All right, Coach. Well, we'll definitely do that, and I appreciate you very much for your time. Good luck against the season. And I know Radford's on the clock. By the way, folks, get your tickets, ecupirates.com, for the baseball banquet February 9th and for season tickets, or you can call 1-800-ECU. Thank you, Coach, for your time. Appreciate it, man, and good luck this season.
Thank you for supporting the Pirates. Appreciate it.
Great interview with ECU's Cliff Godwin. He's done such a fine job at his alma mater. We really appreciate his time, and we look forward to having him back on throughout the season. Now let's move on to another guy who's certainly done a remarkable job at his alma mater. He's won nearly 900 games. He's taken the program to 7 College World Series. And now let's talk to the 21st-year head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, Mike Fox.
Very excited to have our next guest as we're doing our preview for college baseball in the great state of North Carolina. And when you think about college baseball in North Carolina, you think about our next guest who played at the University of North Carolina at second base and, of course, has done a tremendous job at North Carolina as the head baseball coach. And, of course, I'm talking about Mike Fox. Coach, thank you so much for coming on the Sports Objective.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be with you guys this morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. We wanted to have you on and talk about, obviously, baseball in North Carolina. I tell you what, if you're like Bubba and I, and obviously our other co-host, Kyle, we love college baseball, and I think we're spoiled. We don't realize how great it is in this great state, the Tar Heel State.
You're exactly right, and I, you know, for me, I think it has been for a long time, even back in, you know, my days at Wesleyan, and you know, Division III, Division II, you know, NAIA junior colleges, you know, Division I. I've told people for a long time, I mean, the quality of baseball, you know, up and down, high schools included, is, for me, has always been at a very high level, in, you know, in this state. And, you know, we get the recognition sometimes, I think, when, you know, when Wake, Duke, you know, State, you know, ourselves, East Carolina, all those schools, you know, have great years together at the same time. That's a great thing, and that's happened in, you know, that's happened in the past. So I've always been, you know, been amazed at the 17 Division I programs, I think, in this state. I think they've all always been good.
Yeah, Coach, we want to spend the majority of this interview focused on this year's ball club, but we would like to take a quick look back. Like Dave mentioned, you played second base for the Tar Heels from 76 to 78. You helped lead that team, I believe it was in 78, to Omaha, and you were named to the College World Series All-Tournament team. Talk a little bit about your experience playing for the Tar Heels.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago, probably set me on the path, I think, to coaching. And I was a walk-on here. Played JV. Thank goodness they had a JV team back then. And, we had our 40th reunion with that 78, team last year, which was real special. Only had, I think, 21 players on that team. So we were kind of the Cinderella team in 78, and I'd gotten an opportunity to play some as a sophomore. Didn't play a lot as a junior, but stuck it out and had some great teammates. And we had one legit pitcher in Greg Norris, who was like 14-0 that year. And just kind of the stars aligned. And, we won our regional. And I think we were all kind of pitching ourselves when we actually did make it out there. And darn if we didn't get really close to winning the whole thing. So it was quite a journey and a great way, obviously, for me personally to end. To end my career at UNC, my playing career at UNC.
Coach, as far as Wesleyan goes, I know that you won, a national championship. Can you talk about that experience, what it was like to win a national championship for Wesleyan?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I love my time at Wesleyan. Gave me an opportunity to learn and grow, and I was so young when I started there. Stay in touch with a lot of those players. And again, we had some really good teams. I think one year, 1994, we were 42-4 there. I look back at that season. I think two of those losses were to Division I schools, and the other two were in the Division III World Series. And I think three of those four losses, I think, were by one run. It was crazy. And in 89, we didn't have a great regular season. We kind of struggled that year, but then the playoffs came, and again, it's who gets hot at the right time, who gets lucky at the right time and gets the big hits. And we got to Bristol, Connecticut, and won it. Eric Jarman, old Greenville boy, hit a home run in the national championship game late to win it for us. It was very exciting.
Coach, taking a look at this year's ball club, when you hear the prognosticators, and of course you – the Tar Heels are ranked in the top five, top 10 of essentially every poll. The first positional player they talk about is Michael Bush. Talk about Michael Bush and everything he brings to the table.
Yeah, Michael's special. He's a good player. Just got a great swing. He's a hockey player back in Minnesota. So he's kind of a find for us, really. I credit Scott Jackson for that. Recruiting Michael, and he hadn't played a whole lot of baseball. His best baseball is way ahead of him, but came into his own last year. He kind of had a breakout year, and he's a special player. Just a great swing, got a great eye, got some power, and left-handed hitter. Left-handed pitchers don't faze him all that much. He looks at the ball well, so. And he's a great kid. I'm excited about seeing what kind of year he has.
Coach, can you talk about this year? Speaking of pitching, can you talk about I know how important, as people that like us that love baseball, how important pitching is. How is your pitching looking for as far as the starting pitchers and relief pitchers?
Well, we have a chance to, we have a chance to be good on the mound. It obviously starts with, with our three juniors that have been in our program, Luca Delatri, Austin Gardner, and Tyler Baum, have pitched a lot of innings for us, been in a lot of games, started a lot of big games for us, and knock on wood, so far Luca's healthy and throwing the ball well. As most people know, he missed the majority of our our season last year. So it's going to be nice to, you know, to have Luka back, and Austin and Tyler have both really looked good so far. So, you know, we lost some key pieces to our staff, but, you know, we have the potential to be just as deep, I think, and got some good young freshmen in, and I think Will Sandy, a boy from Raleigh's left-handed pitcher, has got a chance to pitch some innings for us. And we have Lancelotti and O'Brien back from our bullpen last year, and they got all that experience in the regionals and super regional World Series, so they got a taste of it. If we stay healthy, we can, we can be good on the mound, which, you know, it all starts with that, as we know.
As far as recruiting goes, Coach, we were talking about early in the interview here about how great baseball is in North Carolina. You really, because of, I know the great education you can get, and you know that firsthand being a graduate of UNC, what do you tell the players when they come in? Can you give us an idea? Obviously, it doesn't take much as far as the academic side of things, but what do you tell the players when they come in, or when you're talking to a recruit?
Well, you know, it's a two-way street when you recruit. You know, they're trying to get to know us. We're trying to get to know them. We try not to be, you know, we try to develop that relationship first. I mean, that's always the baseline and the bottom line of recruiting and how you coach these kids. It's getting more and more difficult to do early in the process now in recruiting, because these kids are committing so young. We've always tried to be not high sell here. At UNC we try to bring kids on campus and obviously they're gonna see what they see, right? They're gonna see with their eyes and see the campus and the facilities, and they're gonna hear what they hear. Well, these kids are so young, you know, they, if you're not careful, they get caught up in the wrong things. And I think probably one of my more favorite sayings, and probably everybody gets tired of hearing me say it, is I tell these kids, you know, it's don't come here because of what the facility looks like. What you're trying to do in the recruiting process is figure out what goes on inside this facility every day. And kids are getting caught up in the swag now and all that, and everybody's got great facilities, but we're proud of our culture here and how our kids are treated every day and the support that they have. And I just try to educate the kids and the families when they come on campus about what they should be looking at for me in the recruiting process. And that's what we focus on the most, is the kind of support they're going to have when they get here in all areas of their life, because they're all going to need it. So that's kind of our philosophy in recruiting. Besides, you know, they all want to know, you know, how much you can offer me and how soon can I play. So, you know, playing on a scholarship amount, we try to get those off the table pretty quickly and then focus on kind of the meat and potatoes of it.
Coach, taking a look at this year's schedule, of course, I mean, you obviously always going to be a tough road to hoe with the ACC, one of the top couple conferences in the country with the SEC. And I think in one poll this year, I believe it was the Collegiate Baseball poll, 8 ACC teams were in the top 33, and that's not even including a program like Wake Forest that is ranked by some publications. So a tremendous challenge there, that goes without saying. But then non-conference-wise, I know you guys open with the Xavier Musketeers on February 15th at Boschmer Stadium. And then one of the stretches that stood out to me in that 13-game homestand to start the year, you play 4 games in 5 days against USF, which is a very solid program, and then also in-state for UNC Wilmington.
Yeah, I think we've got a good schedule, and you're right. So South Florida we went down there last year, of course, and I think they have a great program, and they had some really good players. And we are playing Wilmington earlier than we normally have in the past, and Mark's always got a great team. We had to change our schedule a little bit because we had a team. We did have a home and home with a team on the West Coast, and they had to make a change and drop us late. So we were supposed to go on the road this year, one of those 3 series, those 3 weekends, which was our goal before we went to Clemson, before we opened at Clemson. We had to make some changes a little bit later than we wanted, but It'll be nice to be playing at home, you know. Hopefully the weather will cooperate, and you can build some confidence and hopefully get some, you know, get some wins. But you know, you guys are right, as you well know. I mean, it comes down to these 30 league games, and there are no gimmies in any of them. That's for sure. They're always a battle.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about, we actually, for our podcast, we focus a lot on North Carolina sports and, of course, East Carolina being that I'm an alum. I wanted to ask you your thoughts on Coach Cliff Godwin. I know that appreciate you playing East Carolina, and just want to get your thoughts on Coach.
Yeah, I've known Cliff for, you know, for a long time, and, you know, Cliff's got a, you know, an unbelievable background, and, you know, I mean, starting in high school, you know, just Eastern North Carolina, and, you know, playing for Rabbit Fulton, and you know, Cliff's a baseball guy. I mean, he's just a down home baseball guy. Just loves it and eats it up, and it's his passion. I think he's obviously outstanding, and works really hard at it. And I think he was, you know, he's been at some great programs as an assistant, so he's been able to watch and learn and see how things are done at, you know, at different places. And then, you know, you get your opportunity to have your own program. You can take all those experiences and all those coaches that you worked under and kind of combine your own and have your own philosophy. And, you know, I enjoy playing against coaches like that and programs like that. You know, he does it right, and the kids are always respectful. They play, you know, they play the game hard, but it's great competition. So, yeah, Cliff's done a great job there for sure.
Well, so have you, Coach, in your class act. I met you a couple times, and last time was at the North Carolina, the Raleigh Hostile League at NC State, and you've always been good to me and a lot of the folks there that are big baseball fans. So, we appreciate you very much. Good luck to the Tar Heels this year. Thank you so much for the time. I know you're very busy, but you came on and visited with us here on the Sports Objective.
Sure, absolutely, guys. Always good to talk to you guys, and appreciate the kind words and all you guys do for you know, for college baseball in the state. Really, really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you coming on, Coach.
You're quite welcome. You guys take care and stay warm.
All right, we'll try to. Thanks, Coach.
Take care. All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Really appreciate Coach Mike Fox of the University of North Carolina coming on the show, spending a little time with us. He's certainly a class act, and I tell you, when you take a look up and down this Tar Heel roster, there's just so much talent, so much experience. It's no wonder that coming off Omaha appearance a season ago, that many people were projecting the Tar Heels to win the ACC, host a regional and a super regional, and return to Omaha and the College World Series here in 2019. Moving down 15501, Chris Pollard has just done an excellent job at Duke. That program had not been to a regional in more than 50 years, and the Blue Devils have now been to two in the last 3 years, and we're on the doorstep of Omaha, falling just a win shy a season ago. Now let's talk to the seventh-year head coach of the Duke Blue Devils, Chris Pollard.
Well, as our baseball preview continues, Bubba, I know we've got a very special guest from my hometown, right?
Yeah, no doubt, Dave. So with the college baseball season just around the corner, we're very excited to have one of the top coaches in the state of North Carolina with us. He has what's an emerging program. And they're obviously in the ACC, but they have had unprecedented success in the last few years. Welcome to the show, Coach Chris Pollard.
Thanks for having me on, Bubba.
Yes, thank you, Coach, for coming on. We appreciate you very much. And I wanted to start out, I know you've been there, this is your seventh season. What's your time in Durham been like?
It's been great. Duke is a wonderful academic university, one of the top academic universities in the world. Get a chance to compete in the ACC, and that's a pretty unique combination.
No doubt about it. It's a great league, and I know that that's something with the last, 50-some years, and you've done a great job turning the program around. What did it take to turn the program around at Duke?
Well, it's a multifaceted approach. It starts with buy-in from the current group of players and the university itself. And we're fortunate. We have the best AD in the country in Kevin White. And he shared our vision for the fact that Duke baseball could be successful on a national level. We had great buy-in from the group of players that were here when we got here. And then our recruiting coordinator and associate head coach, Josh Jordan, has done a terrific job of going out and recruiting the top players from all over the country. And we've got a really great product to sell. You know, who wouldn't want to get a Duke degree and have a chance to play baseball against the very best that college baseball has to offer in the ACC while you're doing it?
Sweet. And, Coach, one of the things that really stands out about your coaching career, you obviously started off as a coach at Pfeiffer, and you did unprecedented things there, winning a school record 41 games in your fifth year. Then you went on to App State for an excellent 8 years. You built that program from a 10-win team in year one to, I think it was 40 or 42, and on the brink of a super regional, and falling just shy of winning that Charlottesville regional in year eight. And talk a little bit about your success and leading up and to taking this Duke job.
Well, it's interesting. Everywhere I've gone, people have said to me, you're crazy for taking that job. You know, when I left Davidson and went to Pfeiffer, people said, oh, you're too young. You're leaving Division One. When I left Pfeiffer to take the job at Appalachian State, people said, you're crazy. You've got a winning program now, and you're going somewhere they don't invest in baseball. It's a football school. It's too cold. And then I left Appalachian to come to Duke, and I heard some of the same things. It's a basketball school. They're apathetic about baseball. It's tough to win in the ACC. And each place really felt like the university had a story to tell. They're all very different places. Pfeiffer's very different from Appalachian. Appalachian's very different from Duke. But they're all places that had great people in leadership positions that bought into what we were doing and helped, you know, push our vision. And, you know, and I, every spot I've been, whether it was at Pfeiffer back in the early 2000s or Appalachian up through 2012 and now Duke, I've looked at those places and said, and my wife and I have talked about it, we could retire here, you know. And I got a great piece of advice one time. Somebody said, always make your dream job the job that you have, you know, work at it enough, invest in it enough with sweat equity that it is your dream job. And that's the way we've tried to approach everywhere I've ever been.
Coach, as far as Duke is concerned, you mentioned someone that I think a lot of us, for is when you said leadership, Dr. Kevin White, seems like since he's been at Durham, he's taken, Duke as far as the program athletically across the board to different levels. Can you talk about his leadership and what he means to you?
Well, first and foremost, he's an unbelievable energy person. You know, we always talk about wanting to surround ourselves with great energy people. And Dr. White just brings terrific energy, infectious energy to everything he does. He's done an amazing job of transforming the facilities at Duke. You look at Wallace Wade Football Stadium. You look at the front entrance to Cameron. You look at the Scott Performance Center. We have one of the best weight room facilities in all of Division I athletics. And you could just go on and on. And in the investment that he made in our program to put us in a position to play our home games at the DBAP. I tell our guys every year, you know, we have a tremendous challenge just to live up to the standard of excellence that exists on our campus. You know, certainly – Coach Krzyzewski and this unprecedented success that their program has had, it goes without saying. But if you look across the fabric of Duke athletics, you see excellence everywhere. Men's lacrosse, women's golf, women's soccer, women's tennis. It just goes on and on and on. You know, we've had national champions in fencing. And so we have a tremendous challenge just to live up to that standard of excellence from a Duke baseball standpoint. And Duke, candidly, is a place that prides itself on excellence, whether it's in athletics, certainly in our academics. We've got one of the best hospitals in the country on our campus. So everywhere you look, there are folks doing great things. And that's a challenge that we have to accept as a program.
Coach, before we talk about the prospects for your team this season, let's focus on the recent past. And last year was, of course, an unprecedented season for Duke baseball, winning 45 games, the first time in school history that a Blue Devil team had topped 40 wins. Talk a little bit about that season and just the way it finished, just a win shy of going to Omaha after an unbelievable effort down in Athens to win that UGA regional.
Well, it was a special season, and we knew going into the year we had some really talented pieces. We felt like we had arguably the most talented outfield in the country with two top draft picks on the corners and a tremendous proven commodity in center field in Kenny Taylor. And we had some experience in our starting pitching, some guys back that had started in those roles the year before. And so there were expectations heading into the season, first preseason national ranking in school history. And I think the neat thing about last year, the biggest question mark we had going into the year ultimately became our biggest strength and asset down the stretch. You know, we had big question marks in our bullpen, and, you know, did we have enough in our bullpen to, you know, to close out and to finish ball games? And I think anybody that followed our season last year would note that ultimately our bullpen became maybe the best in the country, and it was without question our strength down the stretch. You know, the magical run that we had in Athens coming out of the loser's bracket after losing on day one to Troy and falling behind Campbell in game two and staring at elimination in the sixth inning being down 8-1. You know, people have asked me about that. That team had a tremendous competitive spirit. They had a lot of toughness. They had veteran guys who'd been through the fires of ACC play for several years. But the thing that separated that team, you guys, I've never been around, and I don't know that if I'm able to do this for 20 more years, I'll ever be around a team that cared about each other more than that team did. They had a tremendous care for one another. They loved playing together. They loved being around one another. And that was what separated that team down the stretch and put it in a position to do some really improbable things, particularly in that Athens regional.
That's one thing you certainly hear a lot of coaches refer to as culture. And that's something, like you said, I definitely don't think can be overstated. Fast forwarding to this year, as we enter this 2019 season, you lost quite a bit off of last year's team, but I know there's still some polls that have you preseason top 25, top 30. I believe the Collegiate Baseball poll came out recently and you were somewhere around 20th. But talk a little bit about this year's team. You, just a minute ago, you referenced the bullpen you had last year with the likes of now junior southpaw Graham Stinson, and then also Bryce Jarvis. Talk a little bit about those arms, and they had unbelievable strikeout to walk ratios.
Yeah, they really did. We've got some guys that can produce some swing and miss. Certainly, excuse me, going into this year, on paper, our strength appears to be our pitching. You mentioned Graham Stinson, who's being talked about as a potential first-round draft pick. Bryce Jarvis was an all-ACC freshman team selection last year. Adam Lasky, who's been in our starting rotation freshman and sophomore year, was the Cape Cod League Pitcher of the Year. So on paper, our weekend starters look very strong. We have tremendous depth. It's certainly the deepest pitching staff that I've ever had in my coaching career. The neat thing is we got a lot of power arms. I had a chance to speak to the Durham Sports Club on Wednesday, and I told those guys, I said, if you like big, strong pitchers that throw the baseball hard, you should come watch us play because we got a bunch of them. And so I think we're going to really rely on those power arms. We're going to have to pitch. We lost seven starters out of our starting lineup. So, you know, it's hard to expect and anticipate that you're going to have the same type of offensive firepower, especially you lose a guy like a Griffin Conine, like a Jimmy Herron. So we're going to have to be a little more opportunistic offensively. We're going to have to probably score in different ways than we did last year. You know, last year we had some guys that could hit the ball out of the ballpark, had some guys that could steal bases, and so we were a really balanced versatile lineup that could hurt you in a lot of ways. This year's team's going to have to be opportunistic. We're going to have to take advantage of the other team's mistakes. We're going to have to be good at situational offense. And, you know, we're going to have to make the routine play. And that's something that the last year's team was an elite defensive team. I think this year's team very good. You know, we played two exhibition games in the fall, I think a total of about close to 30 innings of baseball. We didn't make an error. So this team was solid defensively in the fall and will have to continue to be if we're going to accomplish the goals that we set out for ourselves.
Speaking of versatility, Coach, one of the names that you've mentioned multiple times already in this interview is Joey Loprofito, the freshman All-American first baseman. He and Kenny Taylor, both of them, those are your two returners positionally. And Loprofito, he's someone who hit .315, tops on the team, top three also in home runs with six, RBIs 43, and steals with 16. Talk a little bit about those two guys and the foundation they provide.
Yeah, you mentioned versatility. I don't think there is a word that better describes Joe. You know, he was a shortstop in high school, had never played first base before. We put him at first base because we had a need there last year, and he wound up becoming a freshman All-American and leading our team in hitting. He's actually going to change positions for us this year. He's going to slide over to second base to free up first base so Chris Crabtree, who is the most outstanding player in the Athens Regional, we can get those two guys in the lineup together. Center field, Kenny Taylor's been a mainstay for us. I didn't think we'd have him back this year. I thought he'd go in the draft. He's an elite defender. I feel like he goes gap to gap going to get the baseball as well as anybody in the country. Really came on offensively. Had his best fall since he's been in our program this past fall. And I think he's in a position to have a huge year.
Coach, I wanted to ask you as far as both Bubba and I have young boys. In fact, Bubba's a couple years older than me. He's actually playing baseball now, and my son is going to be the second year and final year of T-ball. They have both of them, his son is Riley, my son is Alexander. They both have a love and passion like their dads do for the game of baseball. Are there things that they can work on now at a young age? What would you tell them or any kid or maybe teenager they're looking to improve their game?
I think it's what you just referenced. If there's any part of the game that I want to see young players grow the most, it's their love. It's their passion for playing the game. You know, we certainly want guys that are youth players to grow up and develop their physical tools and their physical skill set in the game. But ultimately, we want guys to grow their love and their passion of the game. You know, when it comes to the physical side, guys, I always tell young players, work at developing your arm strength. That arm strength will carry you a long way in this sport. And guys got to learn to love throwing the baseball and playing catch at a young age. And if they do, they'll develop the type of arm that will keep them in the sport.
Coach Pollard, you've been very generous with your time. We certainly appreciate it. My final question for you would be in regards to the schedule. Obviously, it goes without saying you play in the ACC, so you have an unbelievable challenge ahead of you. Talk a little bit about what you have in the non-conference slate. You start off the year with three games at the DBAP against Lehigh, and then I know on the second weekend, I believe it is, that you have Northwestern out of the Big Ten for three at the DBAP.
Yeah, it's nice to open up at home. We haven't done that a lot over the last few years, so I'm excited to spend those first 2 weeks of the season at home. You know, right out of the gate, Friday night against Lehigh, opening game, we're going to see one of the best arms we see all year, you guys. Lehigh's got a junior who's going to be a top two-round pick in the draft who was lights out this past summer on the Cape Cod League. So we got our hands full starting with opening night. You've got a Northwestern club coached by Spencer Allen, who I think is one of the best young coaches in the country. And then I think what really makes this non-conference schedule unique, this is the toughest midweek schedule that we've ever played. You got a top 10 East Carolina team you got to play twice, once in Durham and once in Greenville. You got Texas Tech, who's ranked number 3 in the country, coming to Durham, a rematch of the Super Regional. And, you know, you look up and down that midweek schedule. Davidson's picked to win their league. Liberty's picked to win their league. It's going to be a very challenging midweek schedule, which I think is going to be really tough for us, because I also think the ACC is going to be significantly improved. I think some teams that have had what for them are off seasons the last couple years, and I'm referencing Miami, Georgia Tech, UVA was down last year. I think those teams are going to bounce back and be very good this year. So I think we have a tremendous challenge in front of us. We got our work cut out for us, but that's what makes playing in the ACC and coaching at a place like Duke a lot of fun.
Coach, thank you so much for being with us. You're definitely I know that you've been working hard in Durham and getting the program up. It's been exciting to watch from the outside looking in. And good luck to the Blue Devils this season, to you and the guys, and hopefully you have a nice run again this season.
All right, you guys come out and watch us play. Thanks for having me on.
Will do. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
You too.
Great talking to Coach Chris Pollard of Duke. Appreciate his time. And during our chat with him, we talked about his two previous head coaching stops before taking over the Blue Devils were Pfeiffer and App State. Those are two programs that our next guest knows a lot about. And he was also coached by Chris Pollard at Pfeiffer. And I'm talking about the third-year head coach of the App State Mountaineers, Kermit Smith. Let's go to that interview right now.
As we continue our college baseball preview in North Carolina, our next guest is the coach of the Appalachian State Mountaineers, Coach Kermit Smith. Coach, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, I wouldn't have missed it. I appreciate the invite.
As I told you before, a lot of people don't know that maybe listening to the podcast, but actually my freshman year, I was up at Lee's McRae College in Banner Elk, close to you, not too far away up the road. And spent a lot of time in Boone. And the campus at Appalachian State is beautiful. Right out of the gate, if I were a recruit, I know, of course, about Boone, but what do you tell the guys coming to play there or potentially coming to play for you at Appalachian State?
You know, when we stay in state, it's pretty easy. I think the university is an easy sell. You know, I think when you start the education process, you know, you start informing them about, you know, the history and where we've been, you know, just recently, 2012, you know, we're 3 wins away from Omaha. So, you know, they win that last game in the Charlottesville regional there in a super regional and, you know, playing 2 games to go to Omaha. So, you know, that's just 2012, you know, not too long ago. I think you educate them on the conference, you know, Sun Belt Conference, 7th best RPI league in the country. So, you know, there's a lot of attributes along, you know, but I think a lot of times when you stay in state, you know, there's such a great, you know, reputation, whether it be, like you said, our campus or whether it be, you know, just our academic reputation.
One of my favorite things about Boone, obviously, is the mountains. Is that something that there's a lot of great skiing? I know kids of the day love snowboarding. Is that something else that wouldn't make a kid be an attractive thing for them to come to App State?
Yeah, I think a lot of the guys that we recruit are, you know, probably just focused on the baseball end of it. But I think when you start talking about the families that are going to come, you know, spend a weekend and watch their kid play or hang out with their son for the weekend, you know, obviously all those attractions, you know, are very, you know, very nice for them to have something to do outside of just baseball.
Coach, for our listeners who aren't familiar with your background, you have a very unique story. You came to Pfeiffer and played as a Falcon there. You started your coaching career at Belmont Abbey. So talk a little bit about how you became a head coach at such an early age, and you had 15 years of head coaching experience and took 2 different programs to combine 3 D2 World Series prior to the age of 40. So tell our listeners about your background.
Oh, well, I went to Pfeiffer, spent 5 years there. I had a reconstructive surgery on my ACL, so I used my 5th year of eligibility, double majored, and really just kind of when I graduated, the job came open at Belmont Abbey that I was about the 5th guy on the totem pole, you know, just kind of started there, you know, tried to do my very best, worked extremely hard, and, you know, at the end of the year, they offered me the head coaching job. So took over there. definitely was not ready for that, but, you know, it's, you know, God's journey, and, you know, learned a lot. Probably didn't know I was learning at the time, but really learned a lot about, you know, how to deal with people, you know, and how to deal with, you know, administration, how to deal with limited scholarships, how to deal with parents, how to deal with players. And, yeah, had a really fortunate time that we, you know, in 2009, that all culminated in a trip to the World Series. And, you know, had a great year. But, you know, prior to that, we had some good experiences, some good players, worked with some really good coaches. You know, I think the program really turned, you know, when I hired Chris Anderson as my head assistant. And, you know, we had a heck of a run there together in the last few years at Belmont Abbey. And then, he's, you know, obviously currently the head coach at Belmont Abbey. But after that run in 2009, we went down to Lander University in Greenwood, South Carolina. And, you know, very fortunate to have a good run there as well. You know, two trips to the College World Series and, in 14 and 16 prior to getting the job here at Appalachian State. And, you know, very fortunate to, you know, during that run, you know, when Chris went back to Belmont Abbey, we're very blessed to have Britt Johnson there. And he kind of stayed on as my head assistant at that point and really didn't skip a beat. Like I said, we went to the World Series in 14 and 16, and then Britt came with me here to Appalachian State. And, you know, those two people are, very integral in the success that the programs have had that I've been fortunate enough to be a part of. Kind of fell into that head coaching thing a lot of years ago. You know, when you start talking about that, you know, early age and all that before the age of 40, that's, you know, it's humbling to hear that out loud. But, you know, I've just been fortunate to be a part and around a lot of really great people. You know, have some athletic directors that had a lot of faith in me, Lane QB to hire me at the age of 24 and, Jeff May to hire me, you know, from Belmont Abbey to Lander, and then, you know, Doug Gillen to take a chance on me here. And, yeah, it's just, it's been an exciting road. You know, I think when you're in the moment, you don't really think about that journey a whole lot, but you, when you sit back and, you know, a question like that kind of catches you off guard. it's a fun journey to kind of go down, and you realize how many people have impacted that journey.
Coach, one of the things that I notice is about a coach, and you were talking about people that have been loyal to you, that says a lot about you. There's a lot of coaches that are great coaches, but I know there's coaches that are going to come and go, and people come and go. We understand that. But it says a lot about you that there'll be people that are loyal to you and stay with you, because sometimes you can have a great coach, but they're not very good, I guess, to the assistant coaches, or they don't know how to relate to the assistant coaches to keep them there.
Well, thank you for saying that. I guess that'd probably have to be a question for those guys, but you know, we try to do really the core of our philosophy as a baseball program is to build it as a family. So whether you're, you know, the 35th player on the roster, or the, you know, an All-American, or, you know, the first assistant, second assistant, or volunteer assistant, or athletic trainer, or strength coach, or academic coach. I mean, we want everyone to be involved in every capacity. We want everybody to feel very comfortable at all times. My office door is closed currently because I'm talking to you guys, but, you know, we want that office door to always be open and have, you know, kids, coaches, administrators, anybody to feel comfortable walking in at any point and just talking about life or having a serious conversation or just passing by and saying hello. So I think that's probably, you know, a credit to them that it is as much as it is to me that's something that they want to be a part of.
Coach, earlier
about the,
I'm sorry,
I was going to just say, I'm sorry, but I was just going to transition to, we know that you don't have a lot of time with us, but what about the current season? I know you're getting ready for the games coming up. Talk a little bit about the season and maybe some expectations going in to 2019.
Well, I think the season is, you know, it always, you start looking at the schedule and the people that you play and everything else. So, you know, we're excited. I think we're a little over 2 weeks away. You know, I think that when when I go out and I'm having conversations going into my third year, I think a misconception is that's really only two recruiting classes. So I think to a certain degree, there's still some youth on our roster, just with those two recruiting classes, but we like both classes. And, you know, we like the guys that are returning. We like the incomers. But at the same time, you've got a majority of your roster that is freshmen and sophomores. And that's not excuses by any means. It's just the facts. So, you know, I think going into it is we've got a very challenging schedule. We've got a lot of youth on our roster, but a lot of experience because, you know, kind of a lot of those freshmen last year had to get thrown right in the fire. And, yeah, we're excited. We're excited to get out there and strap it up, get out there on the 15th, and we'll get this thing rolling. But, yeah, very excited, you know, excited to have a few more home games this year. That's something that we're very intentional about. I think we've been, you know, very proactive in terms of building a really good schedule in terms of RPI.
Coach, that's actually something I wanted to ask you about regarding the schedule. You guys open at SEC foe Tennessee and with three games against those guys. And then you also play some other tremendous non-conference games, if you'll touch on that. And then also, like you said, the past 2 years, you've only played 19 home games. But this year you're scheduled to play, I think it's 28, so half of your games are at least going into it supposed to be at home.
Yeah, we're very intentional about that. You know, I think anytime that you're, you know, you have postseason aspirations, I think that it's important that you're playing a good schedule. And I think one thing that we're, you know, I've touched on earlier, being in the seventh best RPI league in the country, you've got a majority of your schedule there just in conference is going to be good RPI opponents. But when you have a chance to, you know, like you said, we open up at Tennessee. We've got South Carolina on the 26th of February. We take a southern swing over spring break where we play Florida Atlantic and Miami, and then come back that next midweek and play Wake Forest that previous weekend and play Michigan State. So, you know, there's just a lot of games in there, you know, even before we get into conference where, you know, some really good RPI games that we have an opportunity and, you know, them being on the road has a chance to impact us even more. So, but yeah, we've got a couple of home series early that we're excited about and playing the tournament down in Greenville, South Carolina that we're excited about. And then we get going in the Sun Belt. So it should present its own challenges in that. But I think, you know, a lot of the experience, again, those freshmen that were thrown in the fire last year and the ones that are going to be thrown in the fire this year, you know, we want them to be prepped for, you know, postseason competition. And you're not going to play anybody bad in the postseason, so you might as well play them in the regular season.
And Coach, I wanted to talk a little more specifically about your roster. You were talking about the youth of that roster. And as I glanced over things, that's what I noticed, that seven out of your top eight positionally returned from last year. You did lose, I think it was probably your top three arms, guys like Luke Watts and Andrew Vicasio and Colin Schmid. So talk a little bit about your roster, and because in addition to those seven out of the top eight positionally returning, you had some quality young arms coming back, but then you also had something like 15, 16, maybe even more new players.
Yeah. We, you know, I think that when you look at that, again, that youth coming back, the experience is huge. You know, you always want to talk about guys that have collected a certain number of at-bats or, you know, kind of gotten their first start in college on the mound or things like that. You know, our season kind of turned last year when Will Sprinkle jumped in the weekend as a freshman, and he really just kind of calmed things down and solidified our weekend there. And, you know, the last 15 conference games of the year, we went 8-7, which is, you know, that 15-game stretch in the Sun Belt, that's the best that Appalachian State's ever done since we've been in the Sun Belt. So, you know, that 15-game stretch, it's no coincidence that Will Sprinkle jumped in the Sunday role there. And he'll be, you know, promoted, obviously, this year to a Friday role. But, you know, I think that same sense of, you know, that same sense of balance really, it stays there. I think top to bottom in our pitching staff, I think we're deeper. You know, I think as you pointed out, you know, losing a Colin Schmidt or a Luke Watts, I think when you got those frontline arms, I think that's, you know, as our new guys kind of solidify into those roles and kind of fill those up, we've still got Caleb Bowman returning. We've still got Brandon Boone returning. Will Sprinkle, who I've previously talked about. And then we've got some newcomers. You know, Jason Kornetzer had a pretty decent freshman year in his limited time out there. Cameron Kepley, Shea Plashes last year. So, you know, we're excited about, you know, some of the new guys that are going to be jumping in there. Tyler Tuthill's got a chance to start on the weekend as a freshman. And then, you know, Brandon Boone, who was in the weekend, you know, or was in the weekday, he could possibly transition to the weekend. But, you know, I think that when you look at, you know, those arms kind of back in the maybe 8, 9, 10, 11, I think those guys are probably better than we've had here in the past. And so I think the big question marks on the mound are going to be, you know, that 1, 2, 3, you know, who's filling up, who's going to take the place of Luke Watts, who's going to take the place of Colin Schmidt, those guys. But, you know, athletically, positionally, I feel very good about where we are, specifically in comparison to years previous. You know, Alex Layshock returning, leading our team and hitting as a freshman. Kendall McGowan, who really battled both hamstrings last year, and a huge part of his game is his athleticism. And, you know, when you get a hamstring, it could really hamper an entire season if you let it. Bailey Welch, who had a tremendous summer, you know, playing second base for us. Phillip Cole, who's going to be a freshman. He's got a chance to play a pivotal role in our offense. And then, you know, you're going to see some familiar names, you know, Riley Smith, Joel McDaniel, Drew Beck's got a chance to kind of jump in there and do so. A lot of guys that you heard in the past, we got a first baseman transferred in, junior college kid named Robbie Young. So just a lot of familiar names, and still a lot of young names in that, you know, a few guys are going to have a chance to jump in as freshmen and really impact us.
A guy I wanted to know if you could discuss, Coach, is a JUCO product, Jack Hartman. I don't believe you mentioned him. I knew he was a very highly regarded pitcher out of, I believe it was the College of Central Florida.
Yeah, he's really come along. You know, he didn't start pitching until the latter half of his sophomore year in junior college. And oddly enough, we had recruited him the previous summer as an infielder. And he went to College Central Florida and, just kind of popped in late, you know, was hitting some pretty good numbers velocity-wise at the state tournament last year. He kind of showed up on our radar, and we previously had a relationship with him, so we kind of got into that. And I think him and Justin, our pitching coach, have done a fantastic job together. They've really come along and, you know, developed a good relationship, and a lot of good things have come out. And he's really, since we've been back in January, he's really jumped in and done some really good things in the limited time that we've had since we've been back. But showed flashes in the fall. You know, there's really good days, you're like, yes, and, you know, it's not so good days, you're kind of questioning. And then this spring, he's really solidified himself as, you know, potentially having a chance to kind of add to that three-headed monster. You know, we've got Andrew Papp and Caleb Bowman in the bullpen, who we feel really comfortable with, those two guys who pitched some big innings last year. And, you know, we feel like Jack can maybe jump in and, you know, kind of solidify those three guys as being our bullpen.
Coach, thank you so much. I know that you've spent a lot of time with us. We appreciate it very much. Good luck to everybody in Boone. And, of course, we wish you the best in the Sun Belt and obviously the 2019 season. And thanks for spending time and to visit with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me anytime.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, Coach, and we'll certainly have you back mid-year.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Great interview with Kermit Smith. Really appreciate his time. I really think he and his staff will find a way to build that App State program into a winner in one of the toughest leagues in America. The Sun Belt Conference is typically a top eight league, but I think he and his regime are going to find a way to get things done just with their track record. They're winners, and they just need some time, and I think the Mountaineer program will be back to where it was in 2012 under former coach Chris Pollard. Now let's talk to a guy. He's at his alma mater. He's been there for going on 30 years now, and that is Mark Scaff. He's the head coach of the UNC Wilmington Seahawks. Let's talk to him right now.
As we continue our preview for college baseball in North Carolina, Bubba, I'm very excited to have our next guest, a real legend in college baseball in North Carolina.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Dave. And we're very fortunate to have with us Mark Scaff, the 28th year head coach at UNC Wilmington. He's someone who's been a part of Seahawk baseball for 40 years, when you add in his time as a player and as an assistant coach. And so we're very fortunate to have Coach Scaff with us. Coach Scaff, welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the opportunity.
No doubt about it, Coach. We wanted to bring you on. Very successful season last year. Just want to get your thoughts first off on reflections, a little bit of 2018 before we talk about 2019?
Now, we had a fairly young team a year ago, and with some veteran guys mixed in that group, and it took us a while to really develop into a team. And the second half of the year, our players were able to relax and get comfortable in the roles that they were placed in. And, you know, I felt like we really began to play well the back half of the year and had an exciting finish to the conference tournament and an opportunity to compete and work our way through the regional there in Greenville after getting it handed to us first day by East Carolina and being able to come back. And it was a long weekend with rain delays, but I felt like our players handled the adversity well. And, you know, unfortunately, we came up a little bit short against South Carolina there on the championship day.
Coach, it's Kyle. Have you ever been through a rain delay as long as that one day? It seemed like it went on forever in the game against East Carolina.
Well, we've been through several in our conference tournaments, and, you know, we've actually went through a 24-hour rain delay conference tournament back in 2016, and we've been through some rain delays in different regional tournaments and actually been brought back to the ballpark at midnight to play. And so, you know, a few of our players were returning from the team that dealt with rain delays down at LSU in the regional a couple of years prior.
Coach, in a long delay like that, keep the guys focused. Do you have a routine? Or?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, what do you do in a long delay like that to keep the guys focused? Do you have a routine to keep them loose? Or?
The biggest thing is just let them relax. You know, there's no reason to sit there and think about where we are in the game and who's coming up to hit and, you know, who's coming up, our opponents, who's bringing, you know, who's coming to the plate, who they may be coming back with on the mound. You know, we do that as coaches, but for our players, just give them a chance to sit back, relax, make sure they're staying hydrated and they're getting something to eat so that, you know, when it does come time, when we find out what time we're going back on the field at that point, then we'll try to get refocused, because typically we'll have about 45 minutes to an hour to begin to get ourselves loose and begin to refocus on what we've got in front of us.
Coach, like I stated in the opening, you were a second baseman for the Seahawks. Back in the late 70s, 1977 to 1980 was your playing career. Talk a little bit about that experience and then getting your coaching start at UNC before coming back to the UNC Wilmington program.
You know, I was extremely fortunate to play for Coach Brooks, and, you know, Coach understood the game. He taught us a lot about the game. You know, he was a big defense and pitching. Felt like if you could pitch and you could play defense, you'd give yourself a chance every day. Those were the two most consistent parts of the game. You know, offensively, you're going to have some tough days. And we did a lot of work defensively, didn't hit as much as teams do nowadays in practice. Certainly didn't have the facilities that teams do nowadays. And, you know, we didn't have cages. You know, what BP we got during batting practice, and you'd get about 20 swings and you'd take about 250 ground balls every day. But it was a great experience. I learned a lot about the game. I learned a lot about people and handling people and a team from Coach Brooks and Coach Guthrie as well, because Bobby was here the last couple of years I played. And then to have a chance to leave here, Coach helped me find my way into a graduate assistant position there at Chapel Hill with Coach Roberts, and was able to see it on a different side and a different level at that point. And then, fortunately enough, was able to come back and work under Coach Brooks and Coach Guthrie. Coach Brooks is last year as a head coach, and then 8 years with Bobby. So they gave me a chance to work as an assistant coach. They all put their trust in me and gave me responsibilities and expected me to handle those responsibilities, which allowed me to grow as a coach. And I've tried to do that same thing with my assistant coaches. You know, you can't get it all done by yourself, and you have to have good help and good people, and you put your trust and respect in those guys.
Coach, I know that you gave Coach Cliff Godwin, head coach of East Carolina, his first collegiate break. What did you see in Cliff to bring him on your staff?
Somebody that was extremely dedicated, had a real passion for the game and for teaching the game. And, you know, Cliff, at the time, our volunteer position was well underfunded, but which Cliff knew. And, you know, he came in, he worked every day just as if he was a full-time employee, and took care of our catchers, helped Coach Hood with our offense, took those responsibilities, handled our camps, and, you know, just watch him work. He was, even at a young age, as a young coach, you know, he was very organized, and made sure he paid attention to detail. And, you know, and of course you see it today as Cliff's become a head coach. You know, he does those same things, and it's paid dividends for him.
Coach, I had one more question, excuse me, before we begin talking about your present team in the 2019 season. After becoming head coach in 1992, you had those first 11 or 12 years, not that you didn't have any good teams, I'm not saying that, but then in 2003 you went to the regionals, and then since then you've been to, I think it's 9 regionals. So talk a little bit about that and just the development of your program as the years went on.
Back during the time I was working with Coach Guthrie, we were working with about 3.5 scholarships. And,
wow.
Same thing when I took over. And, you know, we started an early season tournament right after I took over to help us raise some additional funds to put back in our scholarship budget. And we were able to, after about 4 years, we were able to start putting, you know, adding another 2.5 scholarships. And gradually over through the 90s and early 2000s, you know, we were able to get some additional support from the athletic department. And, eventually, by 2003, we were, you know, we were up to about 8 scholarships, and we felt like we were able to improve our facility some because of some very good friends of the program, and that helped us on the recruiting side. You know, we just had a lot of blue-collar players that love to play and love to compete. And that group in 2002 got us headed in the right direction. We came up a little bit short from an at-large, but then 2003 we were able to get an at-large bid because of what the 2001 and 2002 teams had done. And since that time, our scholarship budgets continued to improve a little bit. And certainly facilities have too, and we've generated more interest in from our alums and friends of the program, and all of that combined has helped us continue to bring in some quality young men that are good athletes, maybe a little bit raw, but we felt like their work habits and things were good enough to where they were going to develop into solid college players. And you have to be lucky a little bit. But you also have to do your homework, and the assistant coaches I've had, Coach Hood especially, has been here now going on 18 years with me, and the other coaches we've had along the way have done a great job evaluating talent.
Okay.
And developing talent once they got here.
Absolutely. Coach, as you transition, or as we transition to this year's team, you obviously lose the likes of Orion Jeffers, who's a second-round pick, and then also Mason Byrne, who's a senior last year. Those guys, I mean, it goes without saying what they did. I mean, 28 home runs, 36 doubles, and then I think they drove in something like a combined 115 or 20 runs. So unbelievable production that you lost there. But then you have guys like Greg Jones, Cole Weiss, and Noah Bridges returning. So talk a little bit about what you bring back positionally and what those guys offer at the plate.
From year to year, you lose some good players, and you'd always love to have those guys back for at least one more, but you're happy for them to get an opportunity to keep playing, and you expect your returning players to improve from year to year and be in a position to accept a greater role. Maybe that has a little more leverage than what they had the year before. And, you know, I think Greg and Noah and Cole, Cap Brown, all those guys are in a position to where they're excited about moving into a greater role, maybe a bigger role of leadership and one that expectations are a little bit higher. And we like our team. We like the young men we have. We do have some experienced arms on the mound, along with some younger arms that truly have less experience. But there is some depth there on our pitching staff. We feel like there's some depth amongst our position players and some versatility amongst our position players. You know, we've got some guys that can go in the infield, two or three spots in the infield, and some of those guys can also play the outfield for us if necessary. But we're excited about getting started this spring and see what we look like opening weekend and what we need to continue to improve on.
Coach, like you said, I know you have some very experienced arms returning. Can you give our listeners an idea of who some of those top two or three arms are? What's your weekend rotation looking like as you enter spring practice?
Well, I'd love for you to be you to be able to tell me who our rotation is, but you know, we're still unsure. We've been through scrimmages this past weekend, and we have six different pitchers that we've kind of lined up to compete for three or four starting spots for us, and they really haven't separated themselves at this point. You know, we're hoping that over the next couple of weeks there will be some separation, and then we'll have a better feel for who we need to roll out there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then midweek. But the experience, there's some experience in as starters. Roop and Herring, two sophomores that had to roll into the starting roles for us last year when we lost Aaron Sharp and Logan Beeler early in the year. And we just asked those guys a year ago, get us through four innings. You know, we can turn it over to the bullpen because we had a really deep bullpen, and it worked for us. But those two, along with some others, are going to be expected to go hopefully get a little bit deeper into a ball game than four innings for us this coming spring, so that the depth that we do have in our bullpen doesn't get extended too soon and too early in the year where we wear those guys out by the back half. So, some of our guys with the most experience are guys that can feel some leverage in and force. Blake Morgan, a left-hander, pitched really well for us last year. Justin Walk, along with Roop and Herring. And then there's a couple coming back off of injuries that, Justin Crump, we feel like is capable of giving us a lot of quality innings during the course of the year, whether it's as a starter or out of bullpen. Zarian Sharp's coming back from an injury after being out the fourth weekend of the year last year throughout the rest of the year. He should be healthy by the 1st of March and completely ready to go. And we had a redshirt freshman, Brody Lawson, who's thrown a ball really well for us. There's others. Luke Gazelle, who's a junior, and Luke's been really, really good for us out of bullpen during the year last year. And, he could roll into a starting situation for us or go back to the pen. And then a number of young arms and some other returners, and Blake Dethridge and Nick Bruno and Braden Gorham. So there's still a lot of question marks for us. probably more for us as a coaching staff than they are for the players, which is a good thing. You know, we want them to remain confident and be ready to fill whatever role is necessary, but we're just still trying to figure out exactly what's the best role, who fits it best, and we're going to have to get to game time and put them in those roles and see who handles it well.
Yes, sir. Gage Herring is someone, you talked about him, you mentioned his name a couple times. He's someone that really jumped off the page at me. I saw last year in a little over 50 innings, opponents only hit a little over 200 against him. So that was something that really stood out.
You know, Gage had some success, and you know, Gage is, he's one of those guys that, unfortunately, we've got a few of them that, you know, every day's got to be perfect, and, you know, they keep working, and, you know, it's great that those guys are willing to work and willing to try to get better, but sometimes they, you know, they do too much. And, you know, we're certainly excited to have him and excited that, you know, I feel like he's better right now than he was a year ago. Luke's one of those same type people, and Nick Bruno is another one. They're perfectionists, and they want to get everything just right every day. And you know, the thing that they have to understand is that, you know, you're not going to be perfect every day. The breaking ball is not going to be there, or the change up, or the late action on a fastball, or the change up. So, you know, you got to pitch with what you've got, and they're starting to really truly understand that. You know, another guy that could be at the back end for us that was good for us last year he's going to have to take over more of a Austin Warren and Clark Cota spot at the back end is Henry Ryan. And, you know, we're anxious to see how he'll handle that situation as we get closer to the season and get into the season.
Go ahead, Kyle. I'm sorry.
I had a question. Yeah. Coach, besides yourself with the Seahawks, who else is looking like they're going to compete at the top of the Colonial this year?
Well, Elon certainly. We feel they have two of the best starters in the league on the mound, and Marinovich and Kirby. And Northeastern lost a couple really good position players and one of their starters starting arms, but they have the majority of the pitching staff back, majority of the position players back. As far as returning experienced players that have had success, Northeastern has the most back. College Charleston will be very, very good again with a number of players back. So it's going to be extremely competitive. I think Delaware will be solid, as well as James Madison. James Madison may be the most improved team because they've done a tremendous job over the last couple of years with a new staff, bringing in some very, very good athletes and some really good arms. So there's five or six teams that are going, you know, kind of beat each other up as the year goes on, I think, in Northeastern, Elon, Charleston, James Madison, Delaware, and us. And you know, you certainly can't count out some of the others either, with William and Mary and Towson and Hofstra. We don't know a whole lot about where they are right now with who they brought in, but, you know, we'll begin to get an idea as the first 4 weeks, 5 weeks of non-conference play gets going and see what everybody truly looks like.
And Coach, I want to ask you, as far as recruiting goes, not too hard to recruit or to sell not only your program because you have a great reputation there with winning, but also with Wilmington. There's a lot to do and down in Wilmington with the beaches, and I know that could be a good thing or it could be a distraction as well.
Yeah, we don't talk a whole lot about the beach. The beach is what it is. It's right here, 5 minutes away from the campus. But
all right.
You know, if they're spending a lot of time at the beach, we're probably not very good. So, you know, they do get an opportunity to get down there on occasion, but we really spend more time selling a quality education, a tremendous institution, and a very, very competitive baseball program that's going to work every day to be as good as we can be. And that's from the coaching staff right on down through the players and our managers. And, you know, there's some expectations that we've established that, you know, we certainly work toward each and every day. And we'll see, you know, as the year goes on, what direction we've got to go and what adjustments we have to make.
And lastly, Coach, one of the things that I wanted to point out, kind of piggybacking off of David's question regarding the things that you have the opportunity to sell to recruits, is just being in such a tradition-rich baseball state with everything you bring to the table as far as the university and having the opportunity to compete for a regional year in, year out. You have the opportunity to play a quality non-conference schedule that includes the likes of Coastal Carolina, East Carolina, North Carolina. Talk about that.
Your better players want to play against the best people, and they understand that you have to play well and win some of those games against the best people to be playing at the back end of the year. And, you know, we all want to play at the back end. And there's a tremendous number of regional tournament teams and super regional teams in this area, in North Carolina, South Carolina. And when you're talking about midweek schedule, you're trying to schedule as many games against teams within 2 to 3 hours drive of you, and really and truly, none of us have a whole lot of options besides play quality opponents. You know, we're going to play East Carolina, NC State, North Carolina, Coastal Carolina, Campbell every year, year in and year out, because of the length of the trips and the quality of baseball and the high level of competition. And you know, it's enjoyable to watch those teams compete against each other. And, you know, we're fortunate to be able to do that. Some of the other teams in our league don't get a chance to play the same type non-conference schedule we do. And I do think it helps us improve, learn a lot when we play those people. We get real quick feedback as to where we are and what we need to do from here.
Coach, thank you so much. We could talk baseball with you for a long time, but appreciate the visit. Good luck to the Seahawks this year, and we look forward to having you back on very soon.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, and, you know, you guys do a tremendous job helping college baseball throughout the state. You know, there's a whole lot of great coaches in high school baseball and some real good players, and we all know that, and that's why we recruit the state of North Carolina as much as we all do. And and you get similar type too, and that's a big part of what we try to do too, in building a family that guys come from similar backgrounds. They have a better understanding of one another and what makes them tick and how they work. And if you have that, you have a little bit more motivation to work as a team as opposed to individuals and work toward that team goal.
Yes, sir.
Coach.
Well, thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the time, and look forward to seeing you sometime on the road this spring.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love to meet you in person.
Yes, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We really appreciate all our guests. A huge thank you to Cliff Godwin of East Carolina, Mike Fox of North Carolina, Chris Pollard of Duke, Kermit Smith of App State, and Mark Scaff of UNC Wilmington for spending some time with us discussing their programs. Also, a huge thank you to each of those sports information departments and media relations folks, and they've been excellent lining up these interviews and working with us. And we're so appreciative of their support of what we do here with the Sports Objective Podcast. Wherever you listen to our show, write us a 5-star review. Let us know that you like what you're hearing. And we look forward to catching up with you at some point at one of our live events. And stay tuned, folks. We have some tremendous content headed your way. We're going to be talking to the winningest coach in East Carolina baseball history, Dr. Gary Overton. Coach O has served as a longtime color analyst on the Pirate IMG network, so we'll catch up with him. We'll also catch up with the number 2 saves pitcher in East Carolina history, a guy, Seth Simmons, who is still pitching in minor league baseball. So tremendous content headed your way. And if you enjoy ECU baseball, you enjoy college baseball in general, keep it tuned here to the Sports Objective Podcast.
Thank you very much, Bubba. And I want to remind our great fans, listeners, thank you so much for all you do. In fact, want to remind you can connect us with us on Facebook, just on social media, like our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's at TheSportsOBJ. At TheSportsObjective is on Instagram. You can follow us there. We're everywhere. Plus, you can email the show with your questions, comments, concerns, your hate mail to Cal from LaGrange, whatever the case may be, and you can do that. Just email us at TheSportsObJ@gmail.com. You can do that. For Kyle from LaGrange Barber, Bubba Rosenbaum, and our great coaches from the ground, the state of North Carolina, appreciate you guys for all that you do for college baseball. You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.